Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. So tonight, obviously, a monumental moment in New York sports. We are playing for a Big Four championship. So with that, it was only right that the resident Knick fan on the show for now, Tommy Lugauer, takes over your Cinco duties ahead of this big game.
All right, we're only a couple hours away, like Sean just said, from the finals. Beningo's on his hands and knees right now praying that the Knicks lose tonight. But I'm going to give you the top five reasons why I want the Knicks to win the NBA Cup. What are you looking at over there?
I can't wait to see this list.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five,
our dear friend Ian Eagle gets a chance to call a championship basketball team. You're going to hear things like this. Hit it.
The bounce to Bridges! Josh Hart threading the needle at another heartbreak for New York.
What a call. What a man. What an announcer. Ian Eagle, one of the greats, gets an opportunity to see championship basketball. You can't beat it.
I said this to Ian a few weeks ago. I said, Ian, you son of a bitch, you're going to call more Knicks games than Nets games this year. Let's go Knicks. And it's kind of true. He will be on the call tonight on Amazon Prime.
Here we go.
Number four.
Hear me out on this one. The Knicks win the NBA Cup. They win the NBA championship in the same season. And James Dolan says, you know what? We're going to raise Evan's season ticket prices. So that way we hit in his wallet. So not only does he have to watch him win the cup final, he sees him win the NBA championship, and they raise those tickets, baby.
Not just the normal playoff amount, like a jacked up version.
Like a really jacked up price. I give James Dolan a lot of credit. He could have jacked up prices for years now, and he really hasn't. He has been, say what you want about him, he has been the most fan-friendly owner in this town when it comes to raising of ticket prices off of success or failures. A kudos to him.
Yeah, but it's time that Dolan starts taxing Evan. Here we go.
Number three.
The majority of the people complaining about the Knicks winning and putting up a banner don't even have Amazon Prime, so they won't even be able to watch the game tonight.
It's a fair point. I think he's talking about Joe B when he says that.
Here we go.
Number two.
All right, I can make the argument that the Knicks winning the cup is more of an accomplishment than the Spurs winning the title in a strike-shortened season in 98-99. I mean, you put a little asterisk on that Spurs championship. Here's the revenge spot tonight in a full season, no strike. It's a bigger deal.
That's funny.
I don't hate the take.
Here we go.
Number one.
Well, you're going to hate this take, Sean, and I want you to be listening to this one. For the first time since 1994, a Garden team will win a cup, and every year the Rangers get eliminated, I control Sean and others that the Knicks have won a cup more recently than the Rangers.
Tommy, as someone who, I'm in the middle of you two, because I obviously am an Islander and a Nets fan, so I don't like the Garden teams. I love that take. This is why, ultimately, when I sit down tonight and tune into Amazon Prime and I'm locked in on Knicks Spurs, ultimately, I'm selfishly going to root for the Knicks because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And being able to use this against the Rangers is worth it. Because honestly, whether the Knicks win or lose, it does not matter, which we'll get into in a few minutes. But them winning will impact the Ranger fan in terms of having to deal with that.
You guys are wrong.
It's not wrong.
No, because
I just want Gio say it to Boomer tomorrow.
No,
very matter of factly, like, hey, Boom, how's it feel to have a
touch the cup? Touch the cup, Boomer.
Because You guys are getting this all wrong. Ranger what? Fans who aren't Knicks fans, we're laughing at the idea you guys think this is a cup. Like, it has no effect on the Rangers. We know what the real cup is. We've seen a real cup in a year where the Knicks failed to win a finals.
Sean, I know what getting made fun of is like. And sometimes when you get made fun of, it's like, that's so stupid. It doesn't affect you. But then there are things that are so stupid and they do affect you.
That doesn't affect me.
And I know deep down, seeing how sensitive you are about this Lundqvist-Brodeur debate.
I'm not sensitive.
Tommy and others bringing up, well, we won a cup. And comparing it to the Rangers, you won't admit it. Will bother you.
No, because we'll be mocking the idea that you are using that. And the idea, come on, you don't take us a cup. Now, you didn't even make the big tie-in, Tommy. Why the Knicks will win tonight. Why they will win that cup?
Is there
tonight.
A basketball reason? Is there going to be like heavy minute restrictions on Wembanyama? Well, I'm curious if they're going to have coming off the bench or not, which he did in the game against OKC.
No. You are using.
Have you seen Keldon Johnson shooting percentage from the mid range? It's freaking crazy. Spurs are loaded, bro.
You're a jerk. You're making the case that this will be the first time a cup is won in New York since when?
94.
Who are the two teams playing in Madison Square Garden tonight as this cup is being played?
Rangers being one.
Oh, they're playing the Canucks.
Are they really?
Yeah, true. So the last time a cup was won for this town happened at Madison Square Garden between the Rangers and Canucks.
You know what this means? The Knicks are going to win.
Yes, I've bet the Knicks as a result. The Knicks are playing for a cup the same night the Rangers meet the Canucks at the Garden.
Here is the thing, jokes aside, that I find interesting about tonight.
Okay.
This game, I want to make this clear, because I don't think everyone has all the information. Even I didn't have the information in terms of the batter requirements. But I have this information. This game does not count tonight. It does not count in the regular season.
So perfect.
Every other game that's been played over the course of the NBA Cup counts as a regular season game. So when the tournament first started 3 years ago, that was the one thing I commended Adam Silver about. I said, hey, it works for everybody. If you're into the Cup, cool. If you're not into the Cup, no big deal. It's still a regular season game. So I'm watching my team play. Even the game on Saturday in Las Vegas, it counted as a regular season game. Tiebreaker against the Orlando Magic. It's a big deal. You get to a point tonight where it does not count. Like, the only thing on the line is the pride of winning the NBA Cup. And that, to me, is the biggest flaw. It's just flawed. Like, it's an exhibition game. And here's the real problem that I think both the San Antonio Spurs and the New York Knicks face. This is a real issue for Mitch Johnson and Mike Brown. Mitch Johnson's the Spurs head coach.
I got you. Okay.
Victor Wembanyama has been on a minutes restriction.
Right.
Victor Wembanyama has missed time this season.
He's an alien.
Mitchell Robinson has been on minute restrictions. Mitchell Robinson has missed time this season. How can you, in good conscience, as dueling 18-7 teams that have been playing the long game with two very important players, how can you play them tonight? Like, I don't mean to be a jerk, but if you're sitting Mitch on games that count, how could you play him in a game that, again, does not count? So, I don't know. I haven't heard what Mitch Johnson's going to do tonight as far as does Wembanyama start? Remember, he came off the bench in the semis. Right. Does he play? I assume he's going to play. I think Adam Silver's making a phone call. But this isn't an inherent issue with this.
Yeah.
Coaches are playing the long game, and now you're telling them in a game that doesn't count. Boy, I hope they all play.
I have an easy answer to this, though. We focus so hard on the stars of these teams and how much money they make. Man, the back five guys on these rosters are teammates of those guys. That money actually does mean something to them. Those guys are playing for those teammates.
But you're still seeing the big issue here. So you're saying that Victor Wembanyama is going to put himself at a risk.
He shouldn't.
Because he wants to get Bismarck Biyombo a few extra dollars?
Listen to me. I'm not.
Same thing with Mitchell Robinson and Tyler Kolek.
I'm not saying that's right, but for those guys looking at their teammates in the locker that get that extra money, that don't make the big bucks in the NBA, that does mean something.
I'm not talking about like the players, actually. I'm talking about the coaches.
Because
the coaches are the ones that make these decisions. They're the ones who say, hey, Victor. What is the deal?
The deal is pressure from the NBA. You think they want to play these guys?
I know, but this is the problem, which is why, look, we all have ideas on how to make this thing better. I think some people just hate it and say, screw it, shouldn't happen. But I'm always a believer, all right, you're going to do this, let's make it better. This game's got to count. I'm sorry. And I think Josh Hart actually had the best idea a couple weeks ago. He said, you move up in the standings. So in this case, let's say the Knicks and the Pistons finish tied for first. Well, this game counts, so the Knicks are a half game ahead.
I don't mind that.
And maybe you make it one of those things where if you lose, it doesn't count. So you don't actually get a demerit for it, but you get a victory for winning. Or you move up a seed. And I'll tell you, if that was the rule where you move up a seed if you win the NBA Cup, how much of the Thunder regretting what happened on Saturday.
Or
they could go win 75 games if the Spurs are the two seed. OKC gets bumped to two. Those are things that make it matter.
I love that because you're not even thinking, like, you want to talk about the Thunder moving down. What if you were the team that became the seven seed and you had to play in the play-in tournament? You move up a seed, you avoid the play-in.
I understand. I agree with you. I just think that's what this thing is missing.
It needs something to add to the juice. Now,
it's not even add to the juice. It's
no, make
you can't have a game that doesn't count. It's not fair to the coaches. Honestly, Mike Brown is in a screwy spot right now. How does he, in good conscience, when he's been so careful with Mitchell all year, play the guy 25 minutes? That is so hypocritical.
And the coaches shouldn't pay the price for this, but man, one of these years it's going to happen in this game. There's going to be a major injury eventually.
Don't say that about today.
No, listen, and I'm not wishing this on anybody, but we know how this works, and we lived through the Edwin Diaz World Baseball Classic. Whenever there is something that doesn't actually matter to the end result of franchises that you throw in the mix and players take part in, injury is always a big question. That will happen one year, and then it's going to be the coach that has to answer for it when this is all an NBA reason. So, I hope that doesn't happen tonight, but that is going to happen one year, and that's what's going to have to change this thing. Either they get rid of it, or it actually has to count for something.
Let's get to some of your phone calls. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free number. We've talked about a lot today, a lot of football, a lot of baseball earlier in the show. Sean made an ass out of himself, saying Henrik Lundqvist is better than Martin Brodeur.
Hold on. I want to apologize about something first and foremost from earlier in the show.
I'm trying to take some calls now, but okay.
Real quickly, I didn't know a Bengal was a tiger. I thought it was two different animals.
Oh, yeah, he made an ass out of himself with that, too.
And I didn't realize that. That being said, that caller was an ass because Joe Burrow has not gotten a tiger or a Bengal tattoo.
Okay.
So he got wrong info and made me look bad.
Okay. Yeah, that was the part you looked bad on. Not claiming Henrik Lundqvist is better than one of the great goaltenders of all time, sure. Let's go to Mark in Syosset. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Ev, I'm sorry to disappoint here, but I'm agreeing with Sean. I think from a talent standpoint alone, Lundqvist was a better goaltender.
Thank you.
Brodeur played in an era where you had the neutral zone trap.
Oh, stop with that.
You faced the type of offense. Absolutely.
Sure. So then how do you judge him? Then how do you judge him then? If you're going to disqualify his ridiculous... Okay, he won four Vezinas.
Eyeballs and understanding...
He was better than everybody else.
Dude, the era he played in, like he's talking about, the style the Devils played in, your eyes could watch Lundqvist the goalie and Brodeur the goalie and understand that Lundqvist would have done that
and more. So how do you win Vezinas then? Why was he better than everybody else? Exactly.
Because of the goaltending defense in front of him.
Okay, so... Everyone else couldn't do that.
It allowed him to give up less
goals.
So
no one else could do that, right? Wasn't allowed.
Lundqvist would have done that with the Devils, yeah.
Doesn't matter. He won Vezinas, which proved he was the best goaltender in the sport. He did it three times. Henrik did it once. You lose. Let's go to Mike. Let's go to Mike in Manhattan. What's up, Mike?
What's up, boys? Evan, I got some beef with you, man. You're the ultimate jinx for me. You jinxed the Colts. You rooted for them to lose, and now the Jets have more wins than the Colts do since Sauce Gardner was traded, which is absurd. I bought tickets back in week two after that, fluke call, the leverage call against the Broncos. Now there's no shot I'm going in 2 weeks. And then the Mets on June 18th, you jinxed them. Last week was the worst week of my life and in terms of sports, and all I have to ask is keep the Islanders out of your mouth, Zuhet.
Here's the good news, Mike. I don't even think that highly of myself to think I have the power to impact. Let's see all the teams he thinks I impacted. The Colts, the Jets, and the Mets. Like, are we nuts? I think Mike needs to reevaluate life priorities if he thinks me, as a guy on the radio, is impacting all of these things. It's all my fault. And dare I go to an Islander game, that'll screw everything up.
He wrote down the Met date. He's writing stuff down. That's good.
That's true. He did have the date. I don't even know what that date was.
June 18th.
But I don't think that was the beginning of the collapse. I think the collapse began on June 13th.
I think June 18th was the day we debated.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't?
I think it was. I think he's got the date wrong. I'm going to go check on this.
Leave it to this poor guy to write down a date and it's wrong.
I want to look at June 18th because the date doesn't jump out at me. Like, that's after the Mets started collapsing. So I'm going to look it up. Yeah, he's dead wrong. June 18th was in the middle of their losing streak. They had already lost four games in a row, and they were in Atlanta taking on the Braves, and Chris Sale pitched a shutout that day. So, I don't get that date. That's a weird one to me.
I already got it wrong.
I don't know what he was thinking. I mean, the night before, they had a big lead, and I thought they were going to win, and then they collapsed and blew it, and that was their fourth straight loss. Ozzie and Woodridge. Hey, Oz.
Nothing funnier than listening to these blue skirt fans defend their king who never brought them a crown. It's hilarious to this day. I love it.
I know. It's very sad, especially when they attack such an all-time great like Marty Brodeur.
I mean, he won an Olympic gold medal, Brodeur didn't.
Okay. Yeah, well,
Brodeur might have, actually. I have no idea.
We're dealing with professionals here, Sean, when we talk on the fan, and that's an amateur crown. Olympics is amateur. So you can keep your amateur crown. He never brought you a professional crown. Billy Smith, Henrik can't even hold his jock. Well,
the other thing was, and I bring this up now because I wanted to make sure I had it right before I spouted it. Two of Marty's Vezinas came after they were no longer playing the neutral zone trap.
Okay,
so two of those Vezinas still happened even after these Ranger fans are saying it doesn't count.
It's a reputation. It's a reputation award at that point.
No, it's not. It's because he led the league in a lot of important stats.
So it's a voted on award. It's a reputation award.
But it was also backed up by the way he performed, like leading the league in wins in back-to-back years and having an incredibly low goals against average. Like, those things matters.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Problem. Stats matter. Sorry.
Not really. Eyeballs do.
Evan.
Yes, go ahead, Oz.
Evan, just let him keep going. It gets funnier and funnier. And then
it's true.
For non-MSG team fans like us, isn't it hilarious, Evan, that they call it the cup in both sports so we can listen to them fight and argue?
Yes.
About the cup and who's going to get the cup first and who hasn't won the cup.
Yes.
And I'm sure Rick
Ozzie.
Yes, Sean. Yes.
When was the last time you dopey Cowboys made a championship game? Isn't that hilarious?
Hey, it's funny that your future, now that you want to talk about football, and I'm a little bit upset at you guys, your
what?
Future, Jackson Dart, his head and neck was perpendicular to his body sideways, and you guys are complaining that he got taken out of the game for concussion protocol. All of you fans and all of you guys are going to be the ruination of your entire franchise and the future because you have blinders on and you're putting your whole future in jeopardy.
Before you respond, Sean, I do want to give Ozzy this credit, and you deserve a response to that. Since August, he has brought up concerns about Jackson Dart and his style and concussion worries. So he is not one, in fairness to him, who's jumped on this bandwagon. He has brought it up before anyone else. With that said, your retort.
My retort would be clearly they are overanalyzing this, and Jackson Dart's taking normal hits. His neck is going a normal way, and that is not the first time I've been accused of ruining something in this town. So there you go. 888-808-1019.
All right, thank you. By the way, every day, right around this time, we like to audition new songs for our brand new segment that will begin on January 5th, which is Cinco de Luncho, which was named by one of our loyal listeners, 13-year-old, who listens to the program. He loves the Cinco de 5-0 and said, hey, if you guys are moving and you're going to have new hours, it should be the Cinco de Luncho.
Love it.
Which will occur at around 12:30 every single day, starting on January 5th. And we've been auditioning new theme songs. So I heard your criticisms yesterday. Tiki and Sean and Tommy all thought they were too long. So we've shortened them up. We've got two more jingles to throw in there as candidates. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here is candidate number one for Cinco de Luncho.
Cinco de Luncho.
Sean's got a list and it's half-baked buncho. Five things hot or maybe mayo. Evan's mad, Tiki's calm.
Cinco de Luncho.
I like it's short and punchy. I don't, even don't mind it. I just couldn't make out what they said. Tiki is what?
Tiki is calm and Evan is mad or something like that.
Okay. I don't hate the rhythm and stuff there.
Okay.
Maybe a little more lively.
Gotcha.
But I'm not ruling that one out.
Here is our second and final candidate of the day for Cinco de Luncho.
Cinco de Luncho, Cinco de Luncho. Five takes deep, no research, oh. Guaranteed to make you grow, no. It's Sean Morashu.
I like it.
Especially when he says it does no research. That was my favorite part. He does no research.
I mean, it's accurate. I think we're
Steve, no research.
Feels like I should be dancing at a wedding to that. I liked it. I like it.
Very good.
All right, we're getting around it.
All right, we'll get to it. Sean's made an ass out of himself, declaring that Henrik Lundqvist is better than Marty Brodeur. And obviously the NBA Cup is tonight, plus a lot of football. So a lot on the table. We'll get to some of your calls, and then we'll hear from Jalen Brunson, plus Victor Wembanyama taking a clear shot at the New York Knicks as well. 888-808-1019 is the number. Let's go to John in Lynbrook. Good afternoon, John. Hello, John. John going once. John is not here. Mike in Clifton Park. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. So great show. And so I was listening to Tommy's list, and part of it was that Joe was on his hands and knees. And I flashed back to yesterday's show, and I was like, he's waiting to get violated because the Knicks are going to win.
It'll be a new violation when the Knicks win and there's a banner up in this, the Madison Square Garden rooftop. Let's go to Chris and Ronkonkoma. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? Now listen, Ev, I have a theory of what the Mets are doing. And you can tell me if you think this is right.
Go ahead.
Juan Soto, he has a say in what they're doing, I think. Being he's from the Dominican Republic, they're signing Jorge Polanco, his buddy. Pache is buddy, Dominican Republic. And I think the rift might have been between Juan Soto and some of the players on the Mets during the summer. And let me just say this, Evan. If they're talking to the Padres, his Dominican buddy is Manny Machado, who has a big contract. And I think that if you're going to trade Lindor, they're going to want to give you Manny Machado.
I don't buy it, Chris. I mean, I like the theory that Juan Soto is declaring to David Stearns, sign all my friends. I just don't buy that based on a move here and there. I don't think Pete Alonso's gone because of Juan Soto. I think that Juan Soto, because he makes as much money as he does and he's a lightning rod, is always going to face blame for everything, good or bad. Mm-hmm. And I don't think this one is based on fact. But I will tell you what our dear friend Mike Francesa said about the Met locker room.
Okay.
And I find this one fascinating. And I trust Mike. I think we all do. Mike, of course, a legend around here at WFAN. We are performing in the Mike Francesa studio, even though the sign is removed. And instead, it says Craig Carton, 2023. Well, that's when he left.
Oh. He's going to have to add a year to that?
They have to.
Mike's not coming back, is he?
I don't think so. He did make one return. Craig is now making two returns. So maybe Mike feels that, hey, it's getting competitive. I'll make a return, too. I'm trailing 2-1. I'll make it 2-2. But we love Mike. And on his podcast, he said this, not about Juan Soto, but about what caused a relationship issue between Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor. Have you heard this yet, Sean?
I haven't.
If you had to guess, what do you think caused a rift between Lindor and Nimmo? Do you have any wild guesses?
Nimmo had McNeil's back and didn't like the way he treated him.
Here's what I would advise everybody, because I believe Mike. I have no reason to believe this isn't true. Imagine your own families. Imagine Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, they argued about tanking in the NFL?
Not quite.
Oh, that's my family.
Imagine the things that have caused rifts in families before.
Oh, God. Trump?
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Francesa.
The Nimmo Lindor thing, my understanding, was political. Had to do with Trump. One side liked Trump, one side didn't like Trump. So Trump split up between Nimmo and Lindor. That's my understanding. It started over Trump, as crazy as that sounds.
It's not that crazy. I mean, people fight about politics. That's why you don't talk about politics. That's
why
the biggest job Mendy has to have is, here's a rule. Let's not break down the current state of United States politics because the country's split. You're naturally going to have people arguing with each other. But it should never get to that kind of level.
So Trump ended the good vibes Mets? Is that what we're saying?
That's
I love the Yankees.
OMG.
I think that's what Mike is telling us. Honestly, I'm not disputing that that may not have been a thing. I still believe the reason the Mets traded Brandon Nimmo had more to do with his contract, mm-hmm. the kind of player he is, and really realizing if we're going to get anything for him, it has to be now. Yes. I think this is a David Stearns geeky baseball move. I really don't think it's related to anything in that room. Doesn't mean everybody loved each other, but I think that rooms tend to have issues. I forget who said this recently. I think it was an active player when asked about locker rooms. And he said, it was Buck. Buck Showalter was asked about the Met locker room. And he said, he's never been in a locker room in which everyone gets along.
That makes sense.
Just that when you lose, it gets brought up.
That's what I was going to say. So when the team is winning a bunch of games and Grimace comes out, they stop talking about politics? And then when you lose, you talk about politics?
I think that we always look for why things go wrong. Most locker rooms are going to have guys in the room that just don't like each other right. or are fighting with each other about politics the way families do. It's not the thing that caused them to fail. Like, I think you've been saying it's the eye test with Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah.
The eye test on the Mets is pretty easy. They pitched horribly in the second half of the year.
Right. after Alonzo obviously got caught, I hurt.
Why'd you throw that in there?
I'm remembering what started the pitching problems.
Let's go to Steve in Bound Brook, New Jersey. What's up, Steve?
Evan, what's going on? What's up, Sean?
What's up?
What's up?
Evan, Morash saying that through his eyes that Lundqvist had a better career than Brodeur. Through his eyes, he says. Now, that's like me that claiming that through my eyes, when I have no numbers to back anything up, that Jose Reyes had a better career than Derek Jeter.
How could you say that?
The only eyes that would think such a thing was if I was wearing beer goggles for 20 years.
No, hold on.
I got him. I'm going to do what you do. I want to show you what you're like so you can understand the argument. And for everyone just tuning in, I do not believe Jose Reyes is better than Derek Jeter.
He's not a Hall of Famer like Henrik Lundqvist.
Jose Reyes is better than Derek Jeter.
Okay.
My eye test tells me that.
Jose Reyes had a really good career. He was never a better player on the field. And if you put Reyes on the Yankee teams, they would not have won the same
amount
of World Series.
They would have been even better because Derek Jeter had all these great players around him. You can't prove otherwise. Reyes on the Yankees would have been even better.
It's not the same thing.
Keep going.
Because.
Want to do stats?
No.
Stats don't count, you geek. Want to do championships?
Evan,
doesn't matter. Who cares how many Derek won?
Evan.
I'm doing your same argument against
you're not.
You.
You're actually missing the crux of the argument. You're a complete fool and a moron if you don't think that Marty Brodeur and Henrik Lundqvist both hold a candle to being two of the greatest goalies that ever lived. Period. Stop. Jose Reyes doesn't hold that with Derek Jeter. And my
But this
point,
is my feelings. You can't argue my feelings.
Point, here's a
my eye test.
Here's
Jose was more athletic. He was a better defender. Like, you can't argue with my feelings, Sean.
Sure.
Clearly, my feelings show that I'm right. Jose Reyes was clearly better than Derek Jeter. If you're just tuning in, I'm doing this to show him how stupid his arguments are. But not because I actually believe this.
Keep going. But you're taking two radical
Who
opposites.
Who cares about championships? Stats are for geeks.
I'm taking two actually extremely comparable careers.
Yeah, but my eye test tells me you're wrong.
Yeah, you're actually not even making the argument I had. So you know what? You can have the But I would say this. Do the Dallas Cowboys win those Super Bowls if they have Barry Sanders instead of Emmitt Smith?
Probably. Do the Yankees win their championships if it's Jose Reyes instead of Derek
Probably
Jeter?
Probably not.
Probably more.
Probably not.
Probably even
Probably
more.
Not.
Put him in that lineup. Put him with all those great players. Put him in that stadium. Easy. Easy peasy.
I'm really sorry that Devil fans, you guys should have the cups. Understand that Brodeur's great. If it breaks your heart that Lundqvist was a better goalie, you could laugh at us because he didn't win as many cups. He was a better goalie, and that's fine.
We're laughing that you think Lundqvist was better.
Well, you heard a caller agree with me. Anybody who watches hockey as much as me would know this.
You found one person?
Morgan, a bunch of people don't watch hockey. I watch hockey. Some of you guys don't, and that's fine.
I got a fair tiebreaker.
All right.
Text Boomer and ask him.
Boomer caters to the whole thing.
No, stop. Text Boomer and ask him.
All right.
He's a diehard Ranger fan. I respect his hockey knowledge as much as anybody. Ask him the freaking question.
Okay, I will text him if you're hoping you get an answer by Friday. I hope I get it for you, all right?
By Friday?
Well, by the time he answers me.
He's on the air. And by the way, while you text him, ask him when he's taking you a Ranger game that he promised you. Didn't he promise you a Ranger game?
We don't talk about that anymore. Boomer's, look, I love Boomer.
What do you mean we don't talk about that anymore? Didn't he promise you a Ranger game?
He did a year ago.
So what happened?
I don't know, but I don't like groveling for free tickets.
You're not groveling. I'm asking a question.
I don't know what happened. He didn't take me. The season got out of control. He didn't re-reach out this year. I didn't want to re-reach out because it makes me look like I'm begging, and I'm not a beggar.
No, you just want what he promised you.
It would be nice to not have to beg for what he promised me.
Gotcha.
That's all.
Okay.
So I'm not doing that. And I love Boomer.
All right, here's Jalen Brunson being asked the Knicks trivia question. You guys want to hear this?
Yeah.
First of all, here's the question that was asked at the press conference yesterday, and then we'll get to all your phone calls about Henrik Lundqvist.
I cannot believe it. But Tommy, if you ever thought this cup was the same, just look at what we've had more calls on today.
Well, because you said something so stupid. Tommy's an expert on this. He says dumb things. The calls light up. It's a great formula that you're good at and he's sometimes good at. So I don't think you have to explain anything to him.
Evan, I got
to
tell you, you're aces on all your takes. Let me tell you.
I never said I wasn't. All right. Here's the question that Jalen Brunson was asked.
All right. Go ahead.
Jalen, this is the biggest Knicks-Spurs game since the 99 finals. You were there.
I was.
You're only like 3 years old. I'll be impressed. Could you name the starting lineup for the Knicks back in 99 when they were in the finals versus the Spurs?
Do you think he can?
I'm going to say yes.
Interesting. Tommy, do you think he can?
Yes.
Can you?
The starting lineup?
The starting lineup of the 1999 Knicks in the NBA finals.
Yep. Camby, Larry Johnson, Spree, Allen Houston, Charlie Ward.
So you're right. The one caveat is Chris Dudley started game one and two, and Camby was on the bench.
Okay.
And Dudley. Then Camby played 3, 4, and 5. So you're right. I'm
so
giving
Dudley,
you
a Camby, a combination, obviously, yeah. Patrick hurt.
But you got it right. You nailed it. You think Jalen can?
Yeah, his dad was on the team. He should know.
All right, so here it is. Jalen Brunson. And I don't know if this is going to annoy you. The guy asking the question was like talking to him the entire time. It kind of bothered me. It felt very condescending. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know the guy very well. Here's Jalen Brunson's answer to that question.
Who filled in for him? I'll be impressed.
Rick Brunson.
He was coming off the bench.
He was coming off the bench.
He said, not Rick Brunson. He's so funny.
Patrick Ewing.
No, injured.
Oh, he was injured.
Who filled in for him? I'll be impressed.
Was Chris Dudley starting?
No, coming off the bench.
Game one and two, he did start.
All right, I'm going to go Allen Houston.
Yes, sir.
Latrell.
Yep.
Camby.
Bang. Two more.
Who did I say? I said Allen Houston. I said Latrell.
You need a point guard.
Larry Johnson.
At the four and point guard. Round it out. You got this.
Was it Chris Childs?
No, coming off the bench too. Come on. I'll give you a hint if you need it.
Oh, give me a
historian,
hint.
Though. He knows.
Give me a hint.
He was a former Heisman Trophy winner.
At Charlie FSC. Ward. Yeah. Damn it.
You knew.
Damn it.
Appreciate you. Pretty good.
Thank you.
That guy was so condescending.
Yeah. Come on. You got it. Come on.
I'll be so impressed.
Come on. Please, you get there.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
Pretty good. I'd be really impressed. He was treating Jalen like a child. I didn't like that very much.
Ugh.
But great job by Jalen Brunson.
That's it.
Because honestly, I know his dad played for them, and his first line is not Rick Brunson.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Which is very funny. It's still pretty good to pull that. And you got to love that your best player knows so much about your history. So, for example, and I know your argument's going to be, his dad didn't play for them. But do you think Aaron Judge could name the starting lineup from the 2000 Yankees? The answer's no. It's no.
So the only reason I would push back, and this is really, really caveat.
I know, because his dad didn't play for the Yankees.
No. The only reason I think he actually could.
You got this.
Is Aaron Judge... Aaron Judge just sat there through all of these freaking old-timers days where all these guys come back. So I actually think by that reason, he probably would.
He'd have no chance.
I disagree.
He'd have no chance.
Also, easier to name five guys, not nine.
I get you. I don't even think he'd be able to name five. And that's not a knock on Aaron Judge.
What? How could I say that? We've sat next to a guy here who forgets who was starting on his own offensive line, blocking in front of him.
That's true. That's a Tiki story. I don't think this is a knock on Judge because I don't think like any of our athletes can do this. Like I don't think Jackson Dart's going to name, you know, the 2007 Giants.
Nah.
I think it's a reminder of how special Jalen Brunson is in this town. A part of his uniqueness is that he grew up with this franchise.
Yeah.
And so when I've said in the past he's the king of New York, it's not just squarely who's better, who impacts games more. And we have seen him grow and get better since the moment he signed the contract, which is awesome. But he's truly a Nick. Like, listen to that. That guy just named the starting five from a finals 26 years ago. I'm not sure half the station could do that.
And you just connected this back to the open without even knowing it. Back to our show open at 2 o'clock. That's the exact reason the Yankees need to spend this money on Cody Bellinger. Because he could name... He could probably name the entire roster. He was on the field with all of them.
You know what? It's a great question, and here's what I promise you. If Cody Bellinger re-signs the Yankees, we are going to ask him this. And we're going to do it in a way that's not condescending. I'm not going to say...
Come on, you got it. Luis Soho, you got it.
Come on. I'll give you a hint if you need it. You got this.
We're not going to do that. And even if he signs with the Mets, I'll do the same thing.
Okay.
You know, your dad, Clay, nice player. I mean, think about it. Clay Bellinger and Rick Brunson are not that far off.
Right.
Come on, Scott Brosius, get it in.
You can do it. Let's go to Kevin in Oakland, New Jersey. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Sean.
Yeah.
And don't hang up on me because I want to have a little bit of conversation.
Sure.
Marty and Lundqvist, it's not even close. And when you compare, like, World Series versus home run derbies, like, you contradict yourself. You know, you make it sound like the Rangers have won multiple cups.
No, I don't. Mean,
you were probably in diapers the last time they won, and you'll probably be in diapers the next time they win.
I was not in diapers. I was in grade school. Kevin, I'm going to let you stay on the line and continue this conversation. I just need to clear one thing up. On our screen here, it says, and I quote, Tubby comparing Brodeur and Lundqvist is ridiculous. Did you call me Tubby, or did Connor or Lugar write that?
No, I did say Tubby. I cannot
now,
tell
Now, was that nice around the holiday season to call somebody Tubby?
Well, when you are as delusional as you are with this argument, yes, you are Tubby. You know, listen, they changed the rules because of Brodeur. They put the trapezoid in. That's compelling, you know, for evaluating
Kevin,
his legacy.
Kevin, you know what else they changed the rules? That you weren't allowed to wave a stick in front of the goalie because Brodeur cried like a bitch when Sean Avery did it to him because he wasn't good enough goalie to deal with that.
Also, don't forget, Brendan Shanahan and the other guys were telling them to stop because he's an embarrassment, just like you are with this argument. And one last thing. Hardware speaks for itself, and you can't be king if you don't have a ring.
Okay, so Kevin, you know what? I guess Richter's better than Brodeur then since he beat him in the conference finals. Since that's what we're going
on. Did Mike Richter win multiple Stanley Cups?
He won one.
Okay, how many does Marty have? You want to count them? We'll do it together. 95.
You got this.
99?
2000?
Come on. I'll give you a hint if you need it.
So well used, Scott.
Yeah.
Got one more. You're doing so well.
2003.
There you go.
Pretty good.
Ducks?
Pretty good. Yeah. The Ducks. Yes. You know who they beat in 2000?
I don't.
You know who they beat in 95?
Who the hell was the 95 conference?
The cup Come on, 95 is easy.
I know. It's the year after the 94 one. I hated it.
It's the year after the 94 one.
Who the hell the Devils beat in 95?
They beat the
Detroit Red Wings.
That's right.
All right. Okay.
2000 was Dallas. So
that's right.
Detroit, it was Dallas.
The only
and it
cup
was the
final I remember is the Avalanche one. It's crazy.
Yeah, they lost that. Game 7.
That's right. Oh, he lost the cup.
He lost Game 7 of the Stanley Cup final.
Wow, that's weird, man. Lundqvist won a cup, lost the cup final, too.
How many games did he lose in?
Hedrick?
Yeah.
You got this.
Technically 5, but he played more periods based on overtime.
Stop it. He didn't play more periods compared to a 7-game series. I'd have to look back just to confirm that. But good. You did a good job answering
good.
That trivia question.
So stupid.
Timing of that was so perfect. Let's go to Jacob in Glenridge, New Jersey. What's up, Jacob?
Yo, I just wanted to give some validity to that Nimmo and Soto story.
Yeah.
On my son's travel team, one of the guys on the team is Volpe's godfather. And it happened last year, before the decision happened, he came in and he goes, listen, Soto is a huge liberal. And the team is not a fan of it, and they were having issues in the dugout.
Yeah, but
a lot of validity
in the
to that.
Dugout as they went to a World Series in the dugout. They were arguing this.
Well, in the locker room.
Hold on.
A lot of tension.
Time out, because we're getting some things convoluted, but it's okay. So you're saying that Juan Soto was liberal, and there were a lot of non-liberals in the Yankee locker room, and that caused
That's
some
correct.
Issues.
Well, I actually don't disagree that that's possible. It's just funny to hear.
Like, no, Sean, it's all possible. Like, we are politically diverse as a country. Like,
right?
No one's disputing that. But the story that Mike said had nothing to do with Juan Soto.
His point was
it was Lindor and Nimmo.
But is his point maybe this is why Soto left the Yankees?
Because everyone else was.
They love the Yankees.
Remember, Trump came to the locker room this year on September 11th.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
That's a new report, though, our last caller.
Yeah,
has.
New report.
Look, if we're all going to be mature about this, we don't care what everyone's political views are.
Just go win games.
Just win games and don't have any of your issues, whether it's politics or other stuff, be a problem in the room.
Right.
And I've got no reason to believe that the Met issues from 2025 was because of the room. It's more the baseball. Right. And the guys that were removed from the room in Edwin Diaz, Brandon Nimmo, and Pete Alonso, I don't think we're a part of any perceived problem in the room.
It's also, in the end, it's a healthy thing if people disagree on political issues. Because if everybody was aligned the exact same way on every single thing.
I'll tell you one thing.
Does that make for a better country?
It's weird. So I get it. So back in like the early 2000s, I used to argue politics with all of my friends. It was, oh man, it was great. We all got along. We'd fight with each other. They would tell me this. I would tell them that. And it was all good. It is different nowadays. Like, I don't even argue with politics with people anymore. I keep it to myself. Everybody's so sensitive. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with it anymore. But back in like, and we were talking about like serious stuff in 04. I was arguing about the Iraq war with people. Like, it's not like it was not a big deal. Of course it was a big deal. But it was just, it was different. And nowadays, I keep it to myself.
You have
to. I argue with myself. I talk to myself. So I think in any walk of life, whether it's family or it's sports, unless it's people are different, they can handle it, you're probably better off just keeping it to yourself. Because everyone gets so sensitive.
Totally.
I could see Sean fighting with like his aunt at Thanksgiving dinner. Over
no, politics. I'm laughing. And by the way, this doesn't tell you, I don't like talking politics radio, but I'm just laughing because I walked into Thanksgiving this year.
Were they arguing about politics?
Nobody was arguing about politics. And I love my uncle Ray to death. I love him to death. He sat there over his kitchen island. He had the antipasta in front of him. Everybody's dressed nice for Thanksgiving. He's in a hoodie that just simply says, I'm thankful I'm not a liberal. And that's how we started Thanksgiving. And it was just, it was perfect. It was just like, here we are.
That is funny. Let's go to Artie in Brooklyn. What's up, Artie?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yo.
So, Ev, when Cook was throwing that first, they had that first drive.
Yes.
And I know you commented saying that, you know, you thought he was going to have this great night. Were you thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have Artie on the drive opening day or stuff like that sitting next to me?
Yes.
What did I do?
Yes.
So, if he does beat the Saints, look, would you hedge your bet? Because you can't have me now on primetime, like the 5 hour. Can I do like a 5 minute Cinco de Luncho with you guys?
Yes. And by the way, that's all based on Brady Cook becoming like a star, right? Isn't that what it's based on?
You are the best. All the Jets have to do is win and Cook a good day, and I'm with you guys.
Yeah, I think
you
that's fair.
Well, first of all, thank you, SMY. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac, coming up next on SMY. I think you and Artie are not on the same wavelength with the deal is. I think Artie thinks that if the Jets beat the Saints Sunday, he's doing this?
Yes.
So why don't we just clear this up in the air on exactly what the hell's going on?
So you are right. I completely got Artie's thinking wrong, because Artie had called up a few weeks ago and said, Brady Cook, he's going to come in, he's going to be a star, and if that happens, let me do some hour with you. And I was like, sure, whatever. His call right now at first led me to believe, if Brady Cook becomes a star, we'll give you the Cinco de Luncho. But yes, his excitement based on me saying yes leads me to think all the Jets have to do is win on Sunday,
with Brady
and
Cook.
He does a Cinco de Luncho. And you know what? I'm good with it.
Okay, so you're fine with that.
Absolutely.
You know what? It makes Artie happy, right? Artie feel thrilled with that. He's looking for a reason to root for a win on Sunday.
I don't think you know enough about Artie. Artie is not only a legendary WFAN caller. It's okay, Tommy. Sean did it, but we appreciate it. Sean and Tommy are having like a viewing.
Well, he's yelling at me to wave. I said, I'm just doing my job.
He's doing his job.
He's doing his job. Tommy did everything right. He's just making sure the job was done, and I'm saying he got it done. They basically say goodbye to SNY, that whole thing. Artie in Brooklyn's a longtime caller to WFAN, but not only that, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but Joe and I are, because we did a whole big thing about this a few years ago. He was filling in for Craig that day, Joe. Artie was on Judge Joe Brown.
Are you aware of this? I remember this clip, yes.
Him and his friends sued each other because, like, they were going to a Jet game.
I remember this.
And something happened. I don't even remember. And he was on this show as Artie fighting with his friend about the Jets. And
it was like he committed to going somewhere and didn't because the Jets sucked and he blamed it on them.
Something of that day. I don't remember the details. So that guy is a part of the fabric of this radio station. So if the Jets beat the Saints on Sunday, which I don't think anyone's even rooting for at this point, I think him getting a list on the Cinco de Luncho seems more than fair.
I agree. And look, anything that takes more work off my plate, I'm in favor of. So let's go Jets on Sunday.
That's right. He is lazy, by the way. That's why that part of the song was, he doesn't do any researcho.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm lazy. I'm just always looking to get out of work.
Put it this way. Sean's going to prove this correct. With Tommy moving on to greener pastures and becoming the host of After Hours, one of the questions being asked is, who's the producer of Evan and Tiki? Sean, who's the producer of Evan and Tiki?
We have, and Barrett Sports Media, you guys can write this. Evan Roberts has been named the producer of Evan and Tiki.
You're damn right.
Nicely produced.
We are actually moving on to the middays without a producer. I will, in turn, fire the buttons for Evan and Tiki.
Exactly. Sean's role is...
And then when we have big guests, Tiki will book those guests.
Exactly.
So we are all producers, but really Evan's the executive producer.
I'm the executive. I mean, think about it. Yeah. No offense. Tommy's done a great job. But I've been executive producing this show for 3 years anyway.
And our motto
Nicely produced.
Our motto is, we don't need the little guy anymore.
We promoted the little guy. We don't need the little guy anymore.
That's right.
Like, your job as Evan and Tiki with Sean Morash is press the buttons. Clearly not as good as Connor.
Clearly not. I haven't done it since 2012.
And then also, when spoken to, or you
when
believe
spoken to,
or something really important that you can add to, which you do brilliantly, he adds to the show.
That felt very condescending.
What do you mean?
When spoken to? No. I turn on that mic when I want to, pal.
You're right. Evan and Tiki, when Sean Morash deems necessary.
That's not the name of the show. That's not the name of the show.
Either way, let's be honest. I'm the executive producer when it comes to content and sound, and Tiki's the executive producer when it comes to guests. And Sean's the executive producer in terms of pressing buttons.
He's lazy.
Is that a fair... Tommy, as an outsider looking in at the newest edition of Evan and Tiki, is that not a fair description?
Yes, and I'm starting to wonder what the heck I've done the last 3 years.
What's funny is many have asked what's going on behind the glass when Evan and Tiki move to middays, and the truth is nothing.
This sounds like the same exact thing we've been doing for 3 years here. Tiki books all the good guests, Evan controls sound and content, and Sean speaks when he's spoken to.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
There you go.
We'll see you at 10 a.m.
Give you my opinion on the John Cena final match in a few minutes, but let's take some of your phone calls. We have an interesting night in sports. There is one big game in town. And that, of course, is the NBA Cup. Now, you do have the Rangers and Islanders both playing as well.
Those are big games for those teams.
But those are just regular season hockey games compared to the NBA Cup tonight between the New York Knicks and the San Antonio Spurs. Let's go to Scott in Rhode Island. What's going on, Scott? Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to our program. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm a little upset that you're bashing and trashing the Knicks about the game tonight.
I am not.
I think you would, well, the station, because I think there would have been more bashing and trashing if they didn't make it to the Cup, how they couldn't win on the road and how they're not ready for prime time and this isn't a championship team.
I'll tell you why you're wrong about that, Scott. Last year they got knocked out in the semis and there was no bashing of them not getting to the Cup finals.
Yeah.
So that part's not true.
Yeah,
they got knocked out in the quarters last year, correct? Yeah. My apologies to the Bucks. So they didn't even get to Vegas. So 2 years in a row prior to this year, they got knocked out in the quarters, and there was no bashing of them.
Yeah,
so that part's not true. The second part is I haven't bashed the Knicks at all. What I have merely said is I think the league has put both coaches in a very tough spot where they're playing a game that does not count. It does not count in the regular season. It does not count statistically as Jalen Brunson chases an MVP. So if you are Mike Brown, how do you play Mitchell Robinson any minutes, let alone big minutes, when you've handled him with such care so far in the regular season? So our discussion around the Cup has certainly not been a bashing of the New York Knicks.
Well, and how could you bash the Knicks for playing in this game? All they've simply done is win games on their schedule that got them to this game. So, again, you can't bash them for it. What you can bash them for is in 10 years, if they never win a finals, it's the only one they can win it.
But that's bashing
something.
It's
also not bashing. It's just kind of laughing at a Knicks fan.
But that hasn't happened yet. Right now, the Knicks are, to me, clearly the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Exactly. But that's my point. Nobody's bashing it. It might be something down the road you look back and laugh, but that's not bashing.
I think what I would find, and I'm doing my best to try to put myself in your shoes, Tommy, tonight, I would be very mixed about this whole not counting thing. Like, it counts in the semis. It counts in the quarterfinals. I'm good. It's a regular season game. I don't know how much I would care, so I'm making a guess on what I would do. I think I would go in tonight, obviously watching, and I think as the game went on, my competitive juices would flow, and I'd want to win the game. But going into it, I would probably have a level of indifference because of the fact it does not impact the standings.
So the Knicks are playing. I want them to win. That's where my brain is at. I would have preferred OKC, assuming they would have wanting to win that game, because I think it's like a potential finals preview. It's a little bit of the juices off now because it's the Spurs, but they could still get to the finals too. But they're playing. I want to win.
Well, let's see how much more you want to win, because what have I told you? We have audio of Victor Wembanyama taking a shot at the New York Knicks.
Huh.
Would you want to hear that?
Yeah.
So again, I totally agree with your point about playing the Thunder would have been a litmus test. It would have been very similar to Giants-Patriots. Not very similar, but some similarities to Giants-Patriots from the end of the 07 season. The Spurs are probably looking at the Knicks as a litmus test. They're the young team trying to grow. So I think the foundation of what this game could have been looks different. But Victor Wembanyama is a guy I can't wait to watch live. I don't think any of us dislike him. He's going to try to make you dislike him. Because watch him take an intellectual shot at the New York Knicks.
They don't play a brand as of basketball as sophisticated as the Miami Heat or the Thunder, but like the physicality is top in the league, so it's a very tough team to play against.
So he's saying you're physical, but he's saying you're dumb. Your thoughts?
I think they play, well, he's wrong. That's my first thought. My second thought is the Knicks do play a sophisticated brand of basketball. And don't ever mention the Miami Heat in the same sentence with the Knicks right now.
There you go.
Keep the Heat's name out of your mouth if the Knicks' name's going to be in your mouth as well.
He annoyed you.
Yeah, no, of course. So now I want the game even more. I don't care what's on the line, because you know what? When you start talking trash, then now something's on the line tonight to stick it to Wembanyama. I hope Brunson and Kat and all those guys, Josh Hart, heard the exact same thing we did. Because if they're going to talk trash before the game, then you would be... Because last year, you brought up in the quarterfinals, when Trae Young did the dice thing and nobody did anything about it, that bothered me.
That was Atlanta, you're right. What was Milwaukee, 2 years ago?
2 years ago was Milwaukee, gotcha. First year Atlanta was last year. Then remember when Draymond Green talked junk about Kat and nobody did anything? This is now another guy talking smack. So do something about it. That's what I want to see. Do something about it. Make Wemby uncomfortable. Beat this team. That's my stance on it.
Now, the Knicks aren't a team that does anything, though. Like, OG Anunoby had a basketball thrown at his head, and he kind of was like, what's up with that?
You love that moment, by the way.
Well, it was crazy. It was crazy.
You know why we talk about the Knicks getting out of the East? The Pistons are going to be a problem, and the Pistons are going to want to roll the sleeves up and get into a brawl. So if you don't want to play this style of basketball and get into fights like that, then you're going to have troubles with these teams in the East. So they better toughen up a little bit.
What if the game is tied? There's 8 seconds left, and you want to win this game bad. But in the process of the driving up, as he wins the game, Jalen Brunson gets hurt and is out 3 months. Are you going to be happy?
No, I'm going to be...
But you want them to win the game. He's going all out to win the game.
He'd say that about a regular season game,
too. Of course, exactly.
That's not fair.
It's not even close to being fair. Injuries are part of the game. They're playing a game tonight. It's not the fault of the Knicks or the Spurs that the league is...
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, I didn't thank you for anything.
No, but I'm telling you, because then if this happened tonight and you cared about winning the game, he would have clipped how much you wanted to win the game, played it back for you.
Well, I would have fought him on that. And if that would be a dishonest thing to do for the audience, because obviously any game that the Knicks play, I want to see them win, and I never want to see one of their players get hurt.
Okay. You're welcome. So now, just in case, now you have it on the records when he does the playback thing.
You could save this. This is for Mike Brown. If you're up 10 tonight and there's like 30 seconds, everybody better be off that floor. We better not have an injury late in the game. It's one thing if it's competitive, it's first quarter, second quarter. Late in the game, call off the dogs.
Quick prediction. Will the New York Knicks be raising the cup tonight? Sean Morash.
In all seriousness, I think they do, and I think they win by double digits.
Give me a final score.
They will win the game tonight. I'll go 116-102.
Tommy Lugauer.
Okay, so Spurs, young team. Beat OKC on Saturday. They're in Vegas all these days. I think the Knicks take it home tonight. They win. The Knicks win 126. Spurs will 108.
Spurs will take home the cup tonight. Final score of 121-115.
Be honest.
Yeah.
If me and Tommy didn't just pick the Knicks to win, would you have picked the Knicks to win?
No, I think the Spurs are going to win.
You really genuinely do? Okay.
Very impressed by them. Their guard play has been outstanding.
All right.
I told you earlier about Kendall Johnson, how well he's been shooting from mid-range. Wembanyama is a matchup nightmare. I think they'll try OG on him early. I just think they're a good team. Spurs are an emerging team. If the Thunder didn't exist, we'd probably be talking about them as like, finals contender. Right now, it feels like there is no real finals contender. All right, real quick on John Cena. And what's funny is I had this argument with my sons because we watched it, Saturday night's main event, John Cena's final match. I said to Jet, John's got to lose. And he's like, why? Why is John Cena? I was like, he's got to lose. He's retiring. This is pro wrestling. You need to pay it forward. What I wasn't sure is how he would lose. Him tapping out to Gunther was magic. I thought it was the best booked ending they could have come up with. And I am stunned that I am like the one person saying that. Because the universal reaction from wrestling fans has been, Triple H is an idiot. This was awful. I've argued with friends of mine, and I'm like, this was perfect. The I don't give up guy gave up.
Well, that's exactly it. They didn't want the one thing that could not be tarnished on his legacy if he had to lose was the idea of him actually tapping.
But that's the perfect ending. The perfect ending was he didn't give up until he gave up. Dude, it's magic. I thought it was. I thought the John Cena retirement tour sucked. I thought it was poorly booked. I thought the ending was perfect.
I think it will age well. I think the immediacy of seeing that, and everybody knew where they were looking.
Did you watch it?
I watched it the day after.
No. Tommy, did you watch it?
I did. I thought it was one of the worst finishes in the history of the company.
Why?
In the history of pro wrestling.
Why?
For the same reasons you like it. Now, I... No, not because you like it, but I'm saying... I don't care if the guy wins or loses. I don't think it matters. If you want to go out a winner, you want to go out a loser, I think you can make an argument on both sides. What you can't have is, this was reminded me of Lex Luger in a bus tour for 9 months to face Yokozuna at SummerSlam, and he loses. Well, he won via countout, but he doesn't win the belt. You have John Cena, the American hero, red, white, and blue ropes, the never give up guy, the guy with the t-shirts that says that, and then he taps.
Yes.
He taps.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
He should have passed out. You could have done the Austin Brett finish.
Nah.
He tapped out.
Exactly.
The American hero.
Good.
John Cena.
It's over, bro.
Horrible.
Go home.
Lose is fine,
no,
but not
no,
give
no.
up.
Give up. That's what's so perfect about it. He's refused to give up his whole career, and he gave up to end it. It was magic. And I'm not just saying that. Like, trust me, I said it to Jet and Spence, my two sons, who did not like the ending, and I explained, this is business, and Triple H had the right business approach. You lose, you put the guy over in the most ultimate way, and you give up after telling all the kids never give up. Art.
The fans in wrestling always tell you the story. They booed Triple H out of the building for the first time as he
They're beat. Wrong. They're
they
childs.
Wrong.
They're petulant
they're not,
child.
They're not child. They're
children.
Right. They're children, whatever. They're not childs. Chris Childs. It's on my mind. They're not wrong.
All right. Let's hear from, let's end this show with Lundqvist versus Brodeur debates.
Unbelievable.
And we're going to bang through a ton of calls. You ready? Gianni and Seaford. Go ahead, Gianni.
How's it going, guys? So I figured I finally put an end to the Brodeur Lundqvist debate. First of all, big fan of you guys, so looking forward to seeing you in the new time slot. But there's one stat that we need to look at that you guys aren't talking about. And, Sean, I know you're not a stats guy, but very important here. What's the one thing hockey goalies need to do is save pucks from going in the net? So who has the highest save percentage over their career?
Lundqvist.
And starting with Marty Brodeur, .912. And Mr. Lundqvist, .918.
I mean, that's all you need to know.
That's,
you found one stat.
I told you those stats matter.
And it was microscopic. Pete's in South Carolina. What's up, Pete?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I've been a hockey fan a long time. I'm 72 years old. I've been following the Rangers since I was 8 years old. Sean, I forgot more about the Rangers than you know.
No, you haven't. You left New York and went to South Carolina. They don't watch hockey down there.
Goalie in of all time in the whole New York metropolitan area. Nobody comes close to him. And I am the biggest Ranger fan.
No, you're not.
Going.
No, you're not.
Brodeur.
You're a Hurricane fan.
Better of the two. He won 3 cups. What did Henry win? Nothing.
Zero.
Yeah, that's his fault.
Let me just help you out with geography. South Carolina is not Raleigh, North Carolina.
They root for the Hurricanes.
And the Hurricanes play in Raleigh, North Carolina.
I'm aware of the Hurricanes play. Bigger Ranger fan than me. Get lost.
I don't know. He sounded like a pretty good Ranger.
Well, I'm getting home to watch the Canucks and Rangers in an NBA Cup game. What are you doing?
I'm watching the Cup tonight. I'm excited for it. I still can't figure out what I'm rooting for as a member of the Coalition of Knick Haters. Part of me wants the Knicks to win. So that you can really celebrate this.
Yeah.
But then as I'm watching the game, my blood flows and I want my Wembanyama to put on a show. I want Dylan Harper to put on a show. I want Keldon Johnson to put on a show.
And we get a parade in the newsroom Friday?
Yeah, there'll be a parade.
No, there won't.
What do you mean no? There's a parade if you win. It's a championship.
Well, who's in the parade?
You?
No. I'm not going to be in any parade for the NBA Cup.
All right, I'll be a part of the parade.
No, you're not going to
celebrate
be,
for
you. You're not celebrating anything on the Knicks' behalf.
I will, too. Yeah. It's been a long drought in New York.
Shut up. This is voluntary. If you want to have a parade, people can volunteer to be in it. They will not be forced. And
Tommy,
there will be no Nets
do me a favor. Can you bring up that fake cup you created years ago? Bring it in for us, and I want to prance around the office with a cup tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I still have that at home.
Okay. All right, we're out of here. If you missed any of the show, you can rewind it on the Odyssey app or download the Evan and Tiki podcast. Did I tell them one of the things we're going to discuss tomorrow so people can think about it? You guys want a homework assignment?
Yeah.
Tomorrow's the 1 week anniversary of losing Alonso. The Mets lost Diaz and Alonso in a 24-hour time period. Years ago, when they traded Tom Seaver and Dave Kingman, it was nicknamed the Midnight Massacre. Tomorrow, we find the appropriate nickname to describe losing Diaz and Alonso in 24 hours. You can email me, therico@gmail.com, if you have any ideas. We'll discuss at some point tomorrow. Goodbye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.